everything that I do in life, I do it as a ceremony, a ritual of supplication and of gratefulness to God. Everything is just all day long. I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful. And cleaning the home is a way of saying, God, thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for this temple. Let me show you how grateful I am by keeping it clean for you and keeping it sacred for people who come in, and they'll feel the blessing. And it's important that I emphasize that it's not from a place of obsessiveness or anal retentiveness. It's a place out of sheer gratitude and joy and humility that, God, I feel so fortunate. There are people living in gutters. There are people who come home to machine gun fire into their chest or to their house burned to the ground. And I have this little place that I can call my dwelling that where God has given this to me. And I may not have it tomorrow. Tomorrow's promised to no one. So it's to come from, not from this obsessive, because some people, when I'll speak this, they'll say, oh, that's just so obsessive. You just do your best and God doesn't care anyway. I said, but that's not the point, that God doesn't mind. You should mind. You know.
It feels like a wonderful conclusion. Mm. You know, it doesn't feel as though, it feels like when you say a prayer to God to bless the meal, you've opened up the energies and poured the energies in to digest the meal and whatever it is. And then there's no finish to it otherwise. You know, if you just jump up and it's scattered.
And leave all the dirty dishes. And
yes, but it's just, there's no harmony.
Well, you also destroy, you flush the blessing down the drain, and you're not living in grace because, you know, the primary aspect of the law of grace is leave every place more beautiful than you found it. And then what happens is the blessing amplifies, and it, in terms of, again, a cliche, it pays it forward. You receive the grace of God, then you give your gratefulness and you add to the grace by your loving contribution. And then that grace is now resonating and awaiting the next person at a much larger level, and it keeps growing and growing. And when you don't complete, you said complete the act by leaving it more beautiful than you found it, what happens is that's actually a form of stealing. You've now hoarded. God has bestowed grace upon you by giving you shelter and food and nurturing, and you take it and hoard it and pillage the sanctuary and then leave it in ruins for the next person. So you have now destroyed the grace, stolen from the universe, and you've now created negative karma, which will come back and get you later. Be it the car accident, the tree branch falling on your bonnet, on your hood of your car, you know, someone riding through a mud puddle and splashing mud all over your white dress, because that's what you just sowed. The seeds that you sow in the universe are the fruits that you harvest. So if you say, I feel good about leaving dirty dishes, I'll do them later. No, who cares? No one's home. Well, when the car goes through the gutter and puts a white layer of mud on your white dress, that just came from the filth that you left in your kitchen, which is not your kitchen, it belongs to God. That's God's temple. So it's everything to me is about living in grace. Receive grace, be grateful for the grace of God, and create more grace wherever you go. And that blessing just, it ripples out. And then it just comes back to you even more. And that makes you want to do it more. When someone is in that space, there is no sense of obligation or coercion, or the joy of serving is the reward for serving. It just takes each one as an individual to walk in the world with the axiom, it's all up to me. Don't wait for someone else to clean up my mess, because there are 7 billion someone else's out there. And if we take a drive down the street, we'll see where that got us. That's why the rivers are polluted and the air is filthy and the cities have garbage rolling down them. Because infinitesimal, what, 1% of 1% of 1% of 1% of the world's population walks and lives in grace, but it needs to be 99.99999%. We should be hard-pressed to find someone who doesn't. And we will one day.
Is that why you started off, I noticed on your website as well, you sort of started off by encouraging people to plant a tree, you know, and then and pick up rubbish, you know, in a local sort of scenario. You started off that way, it's, you know, just...
Yeah, it's the 100th monkey principle.
Yeah.
We have people in all my centers in the world just picking up trash every week, you know, and you just go out to places, the filthier it is, the more we go, and... It's just, we don't do it for praise or for rewards or recognition. We just do it because, A, we're supposed to. The earth has no hands but ours. God has no hands but ours. So if ours are behind our back or throwing trash, that's not really serving God very well or our fellow sisters and brothers. You know, it's also part of the 100th monkey principle that little by little, more and more and more do it. And eventually it just, there's a synaptic leap and it becomes everyone's consciousness that, oh, wow, they go to flick a cigarette butt and... What am I doing?
Yeah.
And then eventually they think, why am I even smoking? Why am I filling my lungs up with smoke? I mean, I don't go running into burning buildings and go, this is great. What am I doing here? This is insanity. So little by little. And the planting trees, our Forests of Fruit initiative, has a threefold purpose. One, it's to reverse the effects of global warming by creating more oxygen in the world. It's also to eradicate hunger by making food readily available. And it's to reforest the planet from all the deforestation. I drive down streets and I see projects going up, whether it's a housing development, an industrial park, a hospital, a school. And in every single project, trees are always planted. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, if we're going to plant trees anyway, why not just put up fruit trees that people can just come by and eat? And the birds can eat and people can eat. It can be free. I mean, if you think of the one food that was here from the moment of creation that never took engineering, design, or development, it was fruit. God covered the planet with fruit that was abundant and free and omnipresent. You know, and like, that's why when people say, we're born as carnivores, we're not born as carnivores. The human species were born as herbivores. No nails, blunt teeth, and if put naked in a forest, a human couldn't catch a squirrel. So we weren't born as carnivores at all. You know, we developed the abilities, but I mean, again, it's just about being honest. You know, look at a cat's teeth and look at a human's teeth. Carnivore, herbivore. Look at a cat's claws or in the lion's and look at humans. We can't even scratch paint off a wall, much less rip an animal to shreds. We can't even catch an animal. We're lucky if we can catch a cockroach without a machine gun or, you know, dropping a bomb on it. But then again, if you look at the planet too, the planet, when it was given to us, was covered with fruit, which has structured water. It has vitamins and minerals and hydration and just beauty and lusciousness. And it's a vehicle to give people a tangible, visceral experience of the bounty and beauty and omnipresence of the divine and of the divine mother, who's just everywhere nurturing us and feeding us and caring for us without our even asking for it, without our even really deserving it sometimes because of the way some people treat her. And yet she does it anyway, gives and gives and gives. And yet, I look as I drive through the streets and see how many places put up fruit trees. Almost none. Almost none. I mean, I have been in some places. I was in a place with my... actually at a mission. I took my little 7-year-old to a famous mission in Riverside in near L.A., and they had orange trees planted in the city streets. And I was at one little town in Italy, in south of Italy, and down the main street, all the way through the town, were all orange trees. A lot of people just walk by them, but they're just there. And they're going to fall on the ground and rot anyway. But I've asked people, I've gone up to City Department of City Works, and I've gone onto these projects, and they say, we can't be bothered, it's such a mess. That fruit's going to go all over the ground, and the animals will come, and the bugs will come. And I said, but not if you just let people eat it. I mean, people are starving everywhere. Just plant fruit trees. They grow with no help at all. So, and it will catch on. It's getting there. It'll catch on. This will happen, and it will be all over the world. I have no doubt in my mind.